Hello, everybody. Happy Friday, and today's passage will be from Psalm 36. Again, that is Psalm 36, and I'll read that for us. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind, take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. This psalm written by David seems to be split into two main sections. In the first section, David describes someone who has no fear of God, living as though God didn't exist or matter. Let me just reread this section. This is verses 1 to 4. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. I think the phrase that most stands out here in this section of this passage is in verse 1, that there is no fear of God. And David continues to describe that when there is no fear of God within a person, it leads to all these other things. Because this person has no fear of God, he flatters himself in his own eyes and not God's. Basically, he kind of does whatever he feels like is good or worthwhile. He's the center and creator of his own personal morality. No fear of God also leads to speaking trouble and deceit, a ceasing to act wisely and to do good. Without God in the picture, this person has no real reason to be wise and to do good. Verse 4 goes as far to say that this person plots trouble while on his bed. It's not just a passing momentary thought, but it is an active plotting for trouble and to live a lifestyle that believes that God doesn't exist or matter. David says, he sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. Meaning this person deliberately positions himself in the direction of evil, in the direction of godlessness. We look at a person like this and we might think, man, this guy stinks. This guy is truly evil. He's deliberately planning to do evil. He thinks and does whatever he wants to. He has no regard for wisdom or for doing good. And I think it's easy to think something along the lines of, at least we're not that bad. But starting from verse 5, we see an unexpected shift from David. He suddenly begins to remember the steadfast love of God. And I think this shift was deliberate. It shows that the kind of wicked people that David was describing in verses 1 to 4 doesn't really exclude us. When we think back upon the ways that we've sinned, it's easy to sugarcoat a lot of it. We acknowledge that we've fallen short of God's standard, but many times there's this lingering thought that it wasn't as bad as it could have been, or at least it wasn't as bad as X, Y, and Z. But we must realize that no matter how quote-unquote small a transgression is, it is still a transgression against God. Not saying that all sin is the same. Obviously, there are varying degrees of sinful actions. But I am saying that even the things that we think are not a big deal, they are a big deal. Whatever sinful action we make, the root of it is what David describes in this psalm as having no fear of God. In that moment of transgression, we temporarily and even subconsciously think to ourselves that God doesn't matter. We flatter ourselves in our own eyes, and we remove God from the throne of our hearts. But I think this realization about ourselves is a crucial step in understanding God's steadfast love for us. It might not feel good to think about our transgressions against God, but the rest of this psalm becomes that much more powerful because we know, as believers, that the love of God surpasses even our greatest offense against him. Starting from verse 5, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." Verse 7 and 8, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights." Unfortunately, there will be many people in this world who will never come to a point of repentance. I think verses 1 to 4 refer to these people, and also verse 12, which says, "There the evildoers lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise." But we as believers are gifted by God with what we all know as sanctification. This is where we grow more and more each day to know and love the character of God and to be molded into who God calls us to be. Usually I pray to end this time of devotion, but I also want to encourage us throughout our days, if we have a moment to reflect upon the truth that were said today, let's take some time to reflect on the severity of our sin against God. This isn't to spark any kind of shame, but it is to acknowledge that our transgressions are truly very deep. And one, to reflect on that, and two, to experience God's healing and steadfast love that pardons us through Christ. Even though our transgressions are deep and many, that's why Christ died for us. And we can experience a true healing and a true grace when we realize that we have fallen greatly. So throughout your day, I encourage you to reflect on this truth. And I'll just close us to, I'll just pray to close us in this time. Lord, we thank you for your word today. I pray that today we would realize the depth of our sin. This is not to induce shame, but it is a sobering reminder to us of how undeserved we really are. Knowing this, I pray that the gospel message, that Jesus died and bore the shame we deserved, that it would strike our hearts all the more. Lord, our transgressions are great, but your love is far, far greater. So we thank you for your grace. I pray that it would lead us to further love and display your character in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.